Amen. All right, check this out. You ready, Corky?
Yes.
Praise God. That's a very affirmative answer. There's this woman. She's walking along this beach one day, and she stumbles across this unusual old-looking lamp, right? So she picks it up, and she starts cleaning it. Well, she cleaned it, and she rubbed it. What popped out? Yeah, you know the routine. It was a genie. So this genie popped out. And so the woman, she's amazed. She goes, oh, yeah. Does this mean I get my three usual wishes? And the genie says, no. Due to inflation, Biden, his economics, downsizing, all that stuff. Hey, listen, I can only grant you one wish. Okay, so just what's it going to be? And so being a compassionate woman and all, she didn't even hesitate, man. She goes, okay, here's what I want. I want peace in the Middle East. You've been seeing the news, right? I want peace in the Middle East. See this map right here? This map right here? I want these countries to stop fighting each other right now. And the genie, he looks at the map and he goes, wait a second. My goodness, lady, come on. I mean, these countries have been at war for thousands of years. I mean, I'm good. Okay, but I'm not that good. I don't think it'd get done. You better make another wish. And so she thinks for a minute. She goes, all right, I tell you what. You know, I've never been able to find the right man. You know, the one who's considerate. He's fun. He likes to cook. He helps with the house clean. He gets along with the family. He doesn't watch sports all the time. He's faithful. That's what I wish for. So the genie, he lets out a long sigh. He goes, all right, let me see that map again. Ladies, it's a letdown when you discover there's no such thing as a perfect man, right? Just going to be honest. But did you know it works both ways? There's no perfect woman either, okay? And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes marriages, you can have some of these letdowns, okay? It's going to happen. And apparently that's why one guy said this, yeah, I married Mrs. Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. Whoa, okay. But here's the point. Seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? It came from him, you know, okay? Well, no, okay? Now we got to acknowledge that Adam and Eve blew it. So they blew it for the chances of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is, if you just get back to doing it God's way, you don't have to live a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take some work. Get back to doing it God's way. Okay? And if you don't get this here now, I'm telling you, you are not going to know how to deal with this kind of behavior after you get married. Tell me if this sounds familiar.
Men are so simple, we freak you out. We're so simple, you can't get to it. Men are simple. We're so simple, it bothers you. You don't understand the simpleness of men. Okay, this is how simple a man is. This is two men having a conversation. Man, you gonna go to the club? Yeah. Done. What time will you be there? What? No. What way are you gonna go? Well, how would you get there? If you don't know where it's at, why would you say gonna go? You don't even know where you're going. You don't even know where you're going. You said yes. You don't even know where you're going. I got a GPS. Don't overcomplicate the situation. Make it simple. What else, ladies? Men on what? Men don't know how to find anything. Like, what? I find everything I need. I can't find your stuff. I found everything that belonged to me. Except for the one that you moved to a better spot that makes more sense. When you move my shoes to a better spot, because that's the spot you like. What else, ladies? Yes. He's what? He's messy. Okay, that's a woman's, what do we mean messy? My shirt's on the floor? Did the house fall down? Did the children die? Did the day go on? Does he work? Does he have a job? Leave the shirt on the ground. It ain't your shirt. Why are you stalking him around the house, following him? That's his clothes. Those are not your clothes. Look at this. Don't bother me. Look at that. Don't bother me. You can't take it. You can't take that. Learn to do this. See how free I am? This is you. I am sick and tired of always picking up everything. But quit picking it up. You're wearing yourself out. I left that shirt on the floor because I'm going to wear it again tomorrow. It's right where I want it as I go to the door. There's a method to the madness.
And all the men said, Amen. There is a method to the madness. All right. Now, it's this kind of stuff is why we're going to continue our study. A marriage built to last. How many guys want a marriage built to last? Men, women, let's get going. There you go. We're getting a much better response. All right. Now, it's pretty simple. So far, we've already seen that first step in building that lasting marriage. What do you got to do? Acknowledge just the basics, man. Men and women are different. What a concept. That was profound. The second thing is love is an action. It's a verb. That's what holds your marriage together to the test of time. But that doesn't mean you don't have the third thing, the need for romance. Not just before, but hello, after marriage. Keep the romance going. And then the last two times, that's how important it was, the need for what? Communication, okay? And you're like, well, why? Why is that a big deal? Because, hello, let's be honest, communication problems happen all the time. And as much as we wish we had one, we do not have the liberty of having somebody like this follow us around every day, helping us to get it right. Watch this.
Hi, my name is Lindsay, and I am a female translator.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, well, cool.
Translation? She means she's absolutely not fine.
Why would she say that?
I work with a lot of male clients, helping them understand what a woman really means.
Where do you want to go for dinner tonight?
I don't care.
Sweet, yes. Okay, again. Oh, rib crib, here we come. Right?
Oh, Jacob, she wants a salad, is what she's telling you. With a side of fries, you know, maybe throw in some onion rings.
How am I supposed to know that?
You're supposed to pry it out like a wisdom tooth.
Okay. Seriously, where do you want to eat tonight?
I really don't care.
I feel like you have like a spot in mind though. Like
I really don't have a preference.
You don't have like a single place you could think of. Like, where do you want to eat tonight?
I don't really care.
I need you to tell me where you want to eat tonight.
I want Sweet Green, okay? Can we drive through Wendy's afterwards though? Because I really want some French fries as well.
No problem.
You.
Huh? Would that be cool or what? Well, guess what? That's a parody, which means it's not real. Okay? We don't have that liberty of somebody following us around, encouraging us to get it right. Okay? So that means we've got to do it the old-fashioned way. And dare I say, not just old-fashioned way, you need to do it God's way, okay? And everything's going to work out, okay? If you're going to avoid communication breakdown, we saw that you need to give each other some time, you need to give each other some clarity, and last time we got to what? Give each other some ear. Okay, and we broke it down biblical terms, right? That means you need to stop ignoring them. You need to pay attention. If you got an attention problem, look them in the eye. Remember that? That's just a practical technique to stay focused. Number two, don't deny their feelings, right? Let them express, right? Don't shoot them down. Just let it happen. Let it express so you can learn some things. And beware of fixing things too soon. Men, even though you see that nail and it's right there, don't pull it out. She just wants to talk about the nail. And the reality is this, you got to be prepared to come home every day and just listen to her story like this guy shares. Watch this.
So I don't know about for ladies, but for men, I've got a little litmus test. Here's how you know you got the right lady. Right, fellas? It's the one you look at and you say to yourself, you know what? I love this girl so much that I am prepared to come home from work every day, sit down in front of her, and listen to her story. Now I know it's not going to have a beginning or an end. I realize that. She's going to introduce new characters along the way. But I'm going to listen with love and empathy. Going to offer no solutions. Even if there is a clear solution, I will not offer that solution.
And all the ladies said, amen, right? So you got to be careful of that. But hey, I'm still preaching on it, so there's got to be more, and there is. Thank you, Corky, for asking. We need to also now give each other some respect. And I'm talking specifically in how we communicate. And here's the reality, folks. We can get the first three things right. We can nail them down. And hopefully you're making adjustments if you need to make adjustments. You got to give each other some time. You got to give some clarity. You got to give some ear like you saw last time. But I'm telling you, if you get it wrong in this department, instantly you are back in communication breakdown. We just need to follow the biblical example. And dare I say, yes, believe it or not, from Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12, as we turn there. And this, of course, is the words of Jesus. And he's basically going to give you a summary, right? In fact, if I could just pick one verse that would basically summarize the whole marriage study, because you're going like, man, this is part six, and you're not even done yet, and you got all these techniques and these nuances. I'm never going to remember. Well, just remember this one verse, and it's pretty simplified. But this is from Jesus as we stand and read God's holy word, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Here's what Jesus says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. In fact, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you give him a nasty piece of chicken. I mean, that would be horrible, right? Oh, I'm sorry, wrong translation. Or, no, he asks for a fish and you give him what? A snake, right? And so here's the point. If you then, though you are evil, Jesus speaking, know how to give good gifts to your children, well, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, listen to this. It's all summarized in this one statement from Jesus. So, in how much? Everything. I ain't going to remember all these techniques, Pastor Billy. Well, it summarize everything into this verse. Here it is. What do I do? How do I treat my spouse? How do I communicate? How do I react? How do we do this with these people? How do I? Here you go. Here's what he says. So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. Why? Because this sums up the law and the prophets. There you go. Keeping it simple. You may be seated if you can, but this is from Jesus. Basically, that since God is a good and loving Father who longs to give good gifts to his children, and we naturally do that when our kids, you know, are good as well, right? And so we should, as Christ followers, followers of Christ, that we should naturally want to do the same. The same generous, good heart. We want to share good things with other people like God. And Jesus, again, says, and here's why. It's common sense. It's just a biblical principle. We hear it all the time, but have we really digested what it's talking about? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's called the golden rule, right? And there's a reason why it's golden rule, because if we can get this one down, it's going to fix a lot of things. Listen, including our communication, right? And when it comes to communication, we need to do to each other, i.e. communicate to each other, the way that we'd want to be treated. In other words, with respect. With respect. Okay? And the reason why is because you can finally get the time thing down. You can provide that clarity that's needed. You can give each other some ear. You could be saying all the right words, but you could still be disrespectful in how you're communicating. Instantly, it'll mess everything up. Like this guy. You tell me if this guy had an effective form of communication, or maybe it's a little disrespectful. Let's take a look.
Is your woman a bit too mouthy and temperamental? Well, I'm going to give you 5 ways today to calm that lady down. Number 5, while your woman's barking at you, you want to remind her that she has a crazy knob. And it's turned way too high, and she's going to turn it way down. She'll appreciate you for it. Number 4, remind her that she is currently residing in Crazy Town. Even though that's not a real place, she's going to get the point, and she's going to appreciate you for letting her know. Number 3, you're going to let her know that she's at about a 13, and you need her to come down to about a 3. That's going to give her context and let her know that she needs to bring it down a notch or two. Number 2, when your lady's doing a little too much ladying, you need to remind her that she is to speak when spoken to. It's going to remind her what her place is, and she's going to love you for it. And number 1, remember, your lady's a natural follower. You are her leader, and she will do what you say. So sometimes all you got to do is say, calm down. You're welcome.
Now, how many guys would say that guy's either dumb, dead meat, single, or all 3? Yeah, exactly. Why? Because what he was doing, how he was communicating, in all seriousness, well, it's very disrespectful. Now, we can laugh about this, but folks, I'm telling you, this particular aspect of communication, it is the Achilles heel of effective communication. Because again, you put it in the context, there's nothing worse than finally getting around to express what's on your heart. You're given some time, you're given some clarity, you're given that ear, but then all of a sudden you're disrespectful to the other person in how you communicate. Never works. What happens is we shut down, we clam up, and nothing gets solved. And your problems never go away. Remember, you're always going to have problems. This is not heaven. Heaven comes later. You just communicate through them and move on. That's the biblical paradigm. But if you're disrespectful, man, it will mess things up. Now, let me break down how then are we disrespectful, other than that obvious example, with our communication. Well, the first way is we need to stay away from these things. They're called absolutes. Are you absolutely sure about that? Yes, I am. I'm very sure about that. Okay. But there's lots of things, folks, that you would think would be common sense that we should never say to our spouse, right? But sometimes it's just like we need reminders. Like this guy. Watch this.
Hey, honey, have you gained some weight in your rear end? The dress you wear reminds me of my old girlfriend. I'm Son, where'd you get those shoes? I think they're pretty lame. Would you stop talking, cause I'm trying to watch the game. If you're a man who wants to live a long and happy life, these are the things you don't say to your wife. I planned a hunting trip next week on your birthday. I didn't ask you, but I knew it'd be okay. Go make some dinner while I watch this fishing show. I taped it over our old wedding video. If you're a man who done that, a long and happy life, these are the things you don't say to your wife. Solo. Okay. Your cooking is okay, but not like mother makes. The diamond in the ring I bought you is a fake. Your eyes look puffy, dear. Are you feeling ill? Happy anniversary, I bought you a treadmill. You're a man who wants to live a long and happy life, that too. These are the things you don't say to live. You're a man who doesn't want to get killed with a knife. These are the things you don't say to live.
Common sense, practical advice, right? How many guys would agree? It's common sense. You would hope you'd never do that. Well, believe it or not, folks, it's the same thing, just as dumb and just as deadly as those singing statements when it comes to absolute statements. And you can go, well, okay, well, what's an absolute? What are you talking about? Well, let me fill in the blank for you. It's stuff like this. It's just as dangerous as saying that. You never listen to me. You never care about my feelings or whatever. Or you always get to do what you want. Or watch this one. You're always going to be like your mother or father. Ooh, absolute statements. Never, always. Now, the reason why those never help, and we laugh because we do it, don't we? Is because, first of all, did you know that's how Satan communicates? See, an absolute statement is an accusatory statement. Never, always. And the Bible says, hey, now you're speaking like Satan. I don't think that's good for your marriage. Watch this. Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who what? Accuses them before our God. How long? Day and night, never stops, on and on, has been hurled down. That's the good news. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The Bible says Satan, many different aspects in the scripture. John chapter 8, Jesus said he's a liar. He's the father of all lies. That's all he can do, right? You certainly don't want to emulate that. Okay, and now here we see he's an accuser of the brethren, just nonstop. In fact, the Greek word here for devil is diabolos, and watch this. It literally means one who riddles with accusations. Now, whether you realize or not, that's what you're doing when you're using absolute statements. It's an accusatory tone. You never, you always, and you keep doing that on and on again, you wonder why things aren't going well in your marriage. You're communicating like Satan, okay? Right? And again, it's again, you just got to be careful with it. And again, it's not a matter of whether or not it's true. It may be true. But here's the game. The moment you throw out a zinger of an absolute statement, you never, you always, instantly the other person goes into defense mode. Instantly. Which means, guess what? Now you're not even on the topic you're trying to discuss. You're off in la la land. You go into defense, it's because it's accusatory, just like Satan. Let me give you an example. Like, ladies, maybe you've said this to your husband. You never take out the trash. Now, what do we men do at that point? Because that wasn't true, because there was that one time when you were in the hospital in the mid-90s for a whole month. We took it out at least once. But see, since it's not always true all the time, we defend ourselves. And by the way, this works both ways. And so now you're off in la la land. You're not even on the original topic. Just simply because of one word that was absolute. Never, always. See, you go into what's called defense mode, and then your discussion that you were hoping to have turns into a debate. And it doesn't go well. Now you're thinking, well then what am I supposed to do? I got to get my point across. Well, of course you do. You got to communicate. Switch it up like this. Instead of saying, you always, you just say, hey, you know, honey, sometimes I feel like, that's better. You're getting the point across. Or, hey, honey, sometimes it would appear to me that, or, hey, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, maybe sometimes, do you see the difference there? You're still going to get your point across, but you skip those absolute words. You know, yeah. And what it does is it keeps it from being accusatory, and it's inviting. You're inviting input. You're inviting a discussion instead of opening up a debate. Absolute statements, okay? And it's goofy. We laugh about it because we do it. We do it. But it may seem like a small thing, but it boils back down to this. Do you like it when somebody does that to you? Then don't do it to them. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, including how we communicate. It's a biblical principle. Now, that's just the first one. The second thing we need to stay away from, right, not being disrespectful, is this one. This is a whopper. Mind reading. Expecting your spouse to read your mind. And aren't you glad that none of us here ever do that? Yeah, the nervous laughter gave it away, right? Now, again, how many of you guys would agree? It's, first of all, awfully hard to figure out what men and women mean, let alone what they're thinking. And we already saw that. That's part of the, remember the firing order? Women, you feel first, then act and think. Men, we do the exact opposite. We think, then act and feel. And then we're different, and we different access brain. And that's hard enough as it is, okay? But sometimes in marriage, you got to learn to do what I call read between the lines or do some detective work, reverse engineering, break out your CSI cap. And man, you got to try to figure out what are they saying, right? Like these scenarios. Watch this.
Okay, no problem. So here is what the wives want. We don't know what we want to eat, but we don't like any of your ideas. And we want to save money and eat at home, but the idea of cooking is exhausting and we don't want to. We want to sleep all the way through the night uninterrupted. But when our child wakes up, we want to be the one to comfort him. We want you to do the laundry, but you have to do it our way. But we don't want to explain to you how our way is. We just want you to know. We want to go out on dates. But if we ask you to go on a date, we're mad because you didn't ask us to go on the date. We want to lose weight, but we don't want to go to the gym. Or eat right. Or eat in moderation. When you start to go get food and you ask if we want something and we say no, we want you to get us something from there that we like. It's really that simple.
Were you guys able to figure out the problem with the car?
Yeah.
What was it?
Nothing.
Excuse me?
Never mind.
Can you please tell me what was wrong with my car?
If you don't know what's wrong with your car, we're not going to tell you. Now leave us alone.
Good morning. Good morning. What's wrong?
Nothing, I'm fine.
And she said, nothing, I'm fine. What did she mean by that? A, she really is fine. B, she's mad and not fine at all.
B, I'm going with B. Definitely.
Whoa,
B.
Take it easy. You still got C and D.
Okay.
You gotta wait for it if you wanna win that $1 million.
Alright, let's go.
C, she is both fine and not fine, but wants you to know that she is not fine, even if she was fine.
What?
D, she is pretending to be fine. In reality, she is fine, but shows that she is not fine so that you could never be fine.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just going to go with B, man. B.
Is that your final answer,
That's
Ali?
That's the final answer. $1 million. Let's go. B.
Wow. B is not the correct answer.
What?
You won't be winning $1 million tonight.
What was the right answer then?
Well, nobody knows.
Sound familiar? Those scenarios? Yeah. That's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to mind reading. You got to do some detective work, right? For instance, what I've learned is when a woman says to a man, I don't know, what do you want to do? What she really means is, I can't believe you don't have anything planned.
Right.
Or when the wife asks the husband, how does this dress look on me? What she really means is, we haven't had a good fight in a while. Right? Or when a man tells his wife, I can't find it. What he really means is, it didn't fall into my outstretched hands and I'm absolutely clueless. Or when a man says to his wife, I miss you. Hey, what he really means is, I can't find my sock drawer. The kids are hungry and we're out of toilet paper. Okay? It's really what's going on. So I get it. You got to read between the lines. I'm not against that. That happens. That's normal. But it's different when you expect them to read your mind. Right? The Bible says that is not the mouth of a wise person, right? And this is what we see here in Proverbs 15. The tongue of the wise, what does it do? Adorns knowledge. It means it brings forth knowledge. You're wise, your mouth is going to bring knowledge. But watch this, on the contrary, but the mouth of the fool, what? Gushes folly, literally foolishness. And this is what the scripture says, folks. A wise person, including a wise person learning to communicate with their mouth, and dare I say even in marriage, is one that shares knowledge with their mouth. A foolish one would be somebody who's basically trying to expect the other person to guess what's in your mind, or you're doing some secret code or some secret language, and then expecting them to get it right. That's foolishness. You need to share knowledge. Just let them know. If this is what you want, just say it. Like this guy shares. Watch this.
Took me 2 years of marriage to figure out my wife will never tell me to do anything around her house. She wants me to do something, she'll ask me a question. From the question, I'm supposed to stand there and figure out what it is she wants me to do. Simple example. Say I leave a pair of my underwear in the middle of the bedroom floor, which frosts my wife. That's her favorite word. Someone will cut her off on the highway. Oh, that frosts me. And if I'm not frosting her, I'm driving her up a wall. That's another one. Kids will come in. Where's mom? She's up the wall with frostbite. That's all I know. You won't believe what put her there, son. It was that pair of underwear in the middle of the bedroom floor. Boy, you look at the most powerful pair of underwear known to mankind. They not only defy gravity, but they change temperatures. So leave my drawers in the middle of the room. Would my wife come to me and say to me, pick those up. That's three words. Pick those up. Would she say them? No, because that would be simple, direct, right to the point. Then I, her husband, would know exactly what she wants from me. I'd be able to process the information, make a rational decision as to whether or not I could deliver her request. You see, at that point, we would be communicating at the highest human level through language. My wife will look at me, look at my underwear, and then ask me, are those yours? I sure hope they are, otherwise I got a few questions of my own. What do you want? That is every man's question to the woman he loves. What do you want? Just tell me, what do you want? Quit talking in code and tell me what you want. If I have to tell you what I want, then it doesn't mean a whole lot to me now, does it? Many a night I've walked around my house with a coat hanger strapped to my skull. Boys are going, what are you doing, Dad? I'm trying to divine what your mother wants. There's got to be a signal in his home somewhere. So wrap me in tinfoil, it'll make me a better conduit.
We laugh because what? It's true, man. It happens all the time. And ladies, I'll share a secret with you. Trying to get your husband to read your mind is a one-way ticket to frustration land. Because he can't do it. He's not God. We're not omniscient. Okay? And because he can't read your mind, obviously, then you're going to get mad at him. You're going to say, you better get with the program, buddy. Ladies, half the time, we don't even know there's a program. Okay? So here's the point. How can you expect us to read your mind? And guys can do it too. Okay? That's not the biblical example. A wise person shares knowledge with their mouth. A fool plays these kind of games. Don't expect your spouse to read your mind. Just simply express what's on your mind. Much better way to go. Wise communication. And dare I say, isn't that how you would like to be communicated to? Then do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's from Jesus. And let me give you one more. The third thing that we do that's very disrespectful, and this one's powerful, it's degrading behavior, okay? And as we saw earlier, man, if we had that person that would follow us around and that could help us translate, you know, like that guy with the girl, and she said she didn't want to go out to eat, but she really did want some food and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, granted, that'd be kind of cool. But can you imagine if you both had somebody that followed you around and instantly you could decipher exactly what each person was really saying? It looks something like this. Watch this.
We need to talk. You've done something wrong.
Okay. I'm toast.
No, I'm not upset.
I'm upset.
I'm just kind of surprised.
I'm a ticking time bomb of volcanic fury.
Because you forgot about yesterday?
Because you are a moron of epic proportions.
Yesterday.
I'm toast.
Yesterday was the 15th anniversary of our first official date.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
I have no memory of that.
Do I need to get some flowers or something?
No.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. No.
Are you mad?
No.
Yes.
You'll remember next year.
I will.
I won't.
So how do you like casserole?
It's a new flavor.
Tastes like the devil ate a skunk sandwich and vomited into my mouth.
That's my mom's favorite recipe. I grew up on that. Might as well slap my mother in the face.
Well, you know I would never do that. You know I think your mother's wonderful.
Actually, I think your mother's a...
Okay, maybe that wouldn't be a good idea, right? To have somebody translate every single thing. But here's the point. You don't need that either, whether it's one of you or both of you. Okay? You can actually pay attention to the other person's behavior. And you're going to learn a lot. Okay? And the problem is our behavior can be very disrespectful. And the scripture breaks it down into two things you need to pay attention to if you don't want to disrespect your spouse in the way you communicate. And the first one is your tone of voice. Your tone of voice. Proverbs, love Proverbs, lots of great examples that we see here. And let's take a look at this. This is pretty obvious, you would think. Proverbs 15, 1 and 4, a gentle answer. Now stop right there. What's a gentle answer? A gentle tone of voice, like that. And the benefit of a gentle tone of voice is what does it do? It turns away wrath. But flip it around. There's always a dichotomy in Proverbs. But a harsh word, what does that do 100% of the time? Stirs up anger. Not a good thing. And that's common sense. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. So the Bible says your tone, you can say all the right words, but you can still mess it up with your tone. And when you're saying the words, you need to pay attention that it's an even, gentle tone. Because anything else will come across disrespectful. Including, is it a harsh tone? Is it a wrathful tone? Is it a perverse tone? And basically, what I'm saying is it yelling? That's a wrathful tone of voice, right? And the next thing you know, you end up in one of these marriages like this guy. Watch this.
How well do you know your partner? Can you answer these 7 questions about them? Number 1, what signs do you see in your partner that tell you they're upset?
They shout at me.
What's your partner's favorite way to relax?
Shouting
number
at
3,
me.
What's your partner's current number 1 stressor?
Me.
Number 4, can you name something that your partner values a lot?
Shouting.
Number 5, how does your partner like to cope with stress?
By
number
shouting
6,
at
what's
me.
What's one thing your partner dreams of for their future?
Not
number
shouting
7,
at
what's
me.
Something your partner would love to do?
Shout.
More? You guys seem pretty discerning, but I'm kind of thinking, how many guys would say that his spouse probably did a lot of shouting? Now, we're Christians. I know none of us here ever do that. No way. We just simply have vocally challenged discussions. No. Intense moments of fellowship. Yeah, call it what you will. But yelling is not godly. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words, yelling, stirs up anger. Do you like being yelled at? Does anybody like being yelled at? And not just in marriage, but anybody. Nobody likes being yelled at. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And when people start yelling at each other, what does that do? Stir up unity, love, great communication. No, anger 100% of the time. Your tone of voice. You're saying the right words, but you're disrespectful with your tone. Don't do that, as this guy shares. Watch this.
How do I gently remind my husband that he's speaking to me harshly or disrespectfully when he's snappy or in a bad mood? He knows it's an issue and is working on it, but it still really hurts when he takes his frustration out on me.
Number 1, how do I gently remind my husband? If he's speaking to you harshly, it may not be a gentle reminder. It may be a, stop talking to me like that, please. It doesn't have to be a, oh, honey, right? The second thing is speaking to me disrespectfully, don't. I'll just say that blanketly in this room. Don't speak to your wife disrespectfully. Don't speak to your husbands disrespectfully. Even when you're disagreeing, even when you're angry, treat each other with dignity and respect.
In other words, communicate the way you would like to be communicated to. do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Now, it's not just the tone, not just yelling. That's, I would assume, would be a given. It's a couple other tones. It could be sarcasm, or it could be what I call the robot voice, right? And this is the game that we play. Well, I said the right words. Yeah, but your tone is saying something else. For instance, you could say, oh, yes, I love you. Or you could say it like this. Oh, yeah, I love you. Or, yeah, I love you. The robot voice. Now, we said the right words. That's the game we play. What are you talking about? What are you getting all stuff? What's going on? I said I love you. Yeah, but the way you said, the tone gave it away. It's giving a double meaning. Like this sign. This is a true story. One researcher, he stated how he saw a sign on a convent in Southern California, and it read this: absolutely no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Sign, the Sisters of Mercy. It's a double meaning, right? You're saying one thing, but then it's, and folks, I'm telling you, we laugh about this, but our tone, you could say all the right words, but if you start to yell, the sarcasm, the robot, listen, come on. The other person will take it disrespectfully. You're back into communication breakdown. But that's only half of the equation. The other disrespectful thing we could do as we're communicating, you might have all the right words. You might even get your tone correct, but you're going to blow it on this next one, your body language. What? You got to be paying attention to that too? Yeah, because we never do this. I'm not upset. Proverbs, once again, comes to the rescue. Watch this. Verse 18, chapter 15. A hot-tempered person stirs up unity. Woo-wee! Man, they're just going to town. They've lost control of themselves, and that's the greatest thing. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong translation. A hot-tempered person, what? Stirs up conflict. So you get a bad tone of voice that stirs up anger, and now you get it wrong with your body. You're going to stir up conflict and anger. How many guys would say that's probably not good? Conversely, there's always a flip side. But the one who what is patient calms a quarrel. Interesting. So believe it or not, not only do we need to get our emotions under control to help avoid having the wrong tone, but you better pay attention to your body posture, because that can create conflict as well. And you could say all the right words, but your body posture is going to give a different meaning. Like this guy learned. Watch this.
Babe, can we go get ice cream?
Yeah, sure, babe. Let's go.
Okay, yay. What flavor are you going to get?
Oh, I'm probably not going to get anything. I'm not really feeling it.
What?
Yeah, I don't really feel like ice cream right now, but we can still go and get you something.
Oh, you don't feel like getting ice cream?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't always feel like it either. But in marriage, sometimes we do things we don't feel like doing in that very moment because the other person does feel like it in that very moment, and we know that it's important.
Are we still talking about ice cream?
Yeah, of course. Let's go.
Okay, pray for that man too, along with the other guy. Now, she blew it on both angles right there. She may have said the right words, but what two things was she loudly communicating? It wasn't just her tone. It was the body language was saying a completely different message. Now, these are what's also called not just body language. It's called nonverbals. Nonverbals are something we need to pay attention to, okay? Because they will tell you and give you a better idea of what they're actually trying to communicate. Now, again, we shouldn't have to play this game. You should be forthright. A wise mouth brings forth knowledge. Just be honest. Share it, right? All that stuff. But sometimes you got to pay attention to not just the tone, but the body language, okay? For instance, man, if you come home one day and you find the front door locked, and then you go around the back door and you find it locked, and you try crawling through the bedroom window there, and then only to have your wife smack you on the head with a 2x4, that's a good nonverbal that there's probably something going on there. Or maybe you're having breakfast. Things have been tense for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you're the husband, you ask your wife if she'd make a hot meal for breakfast once in a while, and all of a sudden, she throws the cereal box at you and says, if you want a hot meal, mister, then you better light your cornflakes on fire. Now, that's probably a good nonverbal that there's something you need to work on, right? But in all seriousness, let me begin to break this down for you, okay? What is the body language? This, and I'm going to expose it, because we all do it, and I'm telling you, don't minimize this, get rid of it, and you're going to have a much better opportunity to work through your situation. Number one, when your spouse starts finally sharing what's on their heart. And again, what's the context? You're giving each other some time. You're giving each other some clarity. You're giving each other some ear. You're not using absolute statements, right? You're not expecting them to read your mind. You're even watching your tone of voice. You've got all that right. But all of a sudden, as soon as the spouse starts sharing something on their mind, you do something like this. Rolling the eyes. Body language. Because every time when we see our spouse roll their eyes when we're communicating, we go, oh, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. I love that. I love it when you didn't. Folding the arms. Tapping your foot. Hands on the hips. Now, I shared this with First Service, and I'll share it with you guys, because I'm still wondering, and I have still to this day have not figured the answer. Hand on the hips. Here's a mystery in life. Guys, when we do hands on the hips, it's always like this. Ladies, when you do it, you do this thing. What's up with that? Why do you do it in reverse? That actually hurts the wrists after a while. Why would you do that? Maybe that's why you're upset, because you're doing it weird. How about, anyway, that's just my little thing. But hand on the hips. Oh, yeah. Or, let me give you another one, right? You know, they roll the eyes. They, right? And, of course, what do? Now we're off on a tangent. What do we say? Well, why are you so mad? And then what do you say? You keep it up with the body language. I'm not mad. As the nostrils begin to flare. Or that girl on the video, her eyes. I'm not mad. Or you do the clenching. I'm not mad. Oh, yeah, you're not mad. Body language. Tone of voice. Now you're thinking, is it really that big of a deal? Yes, it is. Watch this. I'll never forget the first time I came across this stat. This filled in some major blanks for me. 55% of any given message that we communicate to anybody, spouse, anybody, 55% is communicated non-verbally. In other words, by our body language. 55%. Another 38% is communicated just by our tone of voice. So for those of you hooked on math, watch this. 93% of anything we ever communicate is through tone of voice and body language. Only 7% is from the words. So my theory is this. That's probably why 93% of the time couples will find themselves in communication breakdown. You know why? Because you got the right words. That's the game we play. But you mess it up with your tone and your body language, and you refuse to make any adjustments. Whew. Don't do that. Treat each other the way you'd want to be treated. Now, the problem as we close is this. We go that and go like, wow, yeah, Pastor Billy, you're right, man. That's serious stuff. But it's not really that serious, is it? Mm-hmm. And what we do is we minimize it. We minimize the importance of this. We've dealt with communication 3 weeks in a row. It's very important. It's the heart of a healthy relationship. But we minimize it. And we minimize that the scripture is replete with the mouth, you know, that you communicate with. And we act like it's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. In fact, the Bible is very practical in that it'll give you even this rule. Maybe you've heard of it before. If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say it. But I love the way God puts it. It's more blunt. Keep your mouth shut. I'm not joking. Read the Bible. What a concept. Proverbs 21:23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth what? Shut. Why? Because you'll stay out of trouble. Right? Come. It's like, man, they should put that on the back of cereal boxes. This is great information. Well, it's been there the whole time. You just got to read it. And that's the tip of the iceberg. Right? Watch what God also says. Basically, in the heat of anger, keep your mouth shut. Well, that's practical. That's good advice. Right? And when you don't have all the facts, keep your mouth shut. When you haven't verified the story, keep your mouth shut. In your words, if they'll offend a weaker brother, keep your mouth shut. If your words will be a poor reflection of Jesus towards your friends or family, keep your mouth shut. When you're tempted to joke about sin, keep your mouth shut. When you be ashamed of your words, well, keep your mouth shut. When you be tempted to make light of holy things, keep your mouth shut. When your words would convey a wrong impression, keep your mouth shut. When you're tempted to tell an outright lie, hello, keep your mouth shut. If your words will damage somebody's reputation, keep your mouth shut. If your words will destroy a friendship, keep your mouth shut. If you're feeling critical, keep your mouth shut. Go to the other room. Don't do it. Right? If you can't speak without yelling, keep your mouth shut. Why? Because it stirs up anger every single time. By the way, yelling is verbal abuse. And if it's wrong for people to hit each other with physical abuse, and it is wrong, and husbands or wives, if you're in a relationship that somebody's doing that, you immediately deal with it. You don't ever tolerate that, ever. I didn't say get divorced, but don't you stay there in that kind of harmful situation. But here's my point. We know that. That's called physical abuse. Why is it that verbal abuse gets a free pass? And that's the illusion. Physical abuse, you see the bruises on the outside. Verbal abuse, the bruises are on the inside. Don't do that. If you can't speak without yelling, keep your mouth shut. Hey, when it's time to listen, keep your mouth shut, right? If you may have to eat your words later, keep your mouth shut. And watch this. If you've already said it more than one time, i.e. nagging, keep your mouth shut. See, the Bible's very replete. Communication is a big deal. God talks about it all the time. Don't minimize that. That's the first mistake we make. The second mistake we make is we don't realize that, listen, there's a reason why things are coming out of your mouth. It's a heart issue. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if the things coming out of your mouth are not good, you need to get your heart right with God. Don't minimize that, like this guy shares.
A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overreactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who's critical all the time has a bitter heart. On the other hand, a person who's always encouraging has a graceful heart. A person who speaks gently has a loving heart. And a person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. What kind of heart do you have?
And if the words come out of your mouth are not good, they're not godly, they don't line up with God's word, guess what? It's a heart issue. And you need to go before Jesus and get your heart right with God. That's why it keeps happening. Don't minimize that. That's serious stuff. The third thing is this. We do something like this. We say, okay, yeah, I get it. I know we need to, you know, communicate better, and I probably should be more respectful with my means of communication, but come on, man. It's not the end of the world. All right. May not be the end of the world, but you keep that up, one day might be the end of your marriage. One guy puts it this way. I love this analogy. It's my favorite analogy, especially with communication. And he says this. He said, there was once this big old mighty tree that stood on top of a high mountain. Like, you know, redwood tree. Those things get up way up high, 300 feet above, you know, big giant trees, top of the mountains. And he says, man, that thing, year after year, it survived everything. It survived the hailstorms, pounding it. And we're talking high up, so it's way more fierce up top. And it survived every year with the hailstorms. In fact, it survived all the heavy snows, feet after feet after feet, and every single year, and it always came out on top. Never had any problems whatsoever. It's the wind, man, the rain, the lightning, all the storms, and especially up top, man, they're severe, right? And it survived all that stuff, even the bitter cold. I mean, you talk about freezing, man. It survived all that. And then one day, bang, that big old tree came down. You know why? By an attack of little beetles. One by one, over time, had wormed its way in and began to rot the tree from the inside out. A little beetle took down that mighty tree. And he says this, so it is with marriage. Don't make the mistake of going like, Pastor Billy, wow, these 3 weeks on communication, that was pretty cool. Yeah, we laughed a lot because we do all this, right? But don't leave here thinking you don't need to make adjustments. Because really what you're doing is you're inviting a spiritual beetle into your marriage. Yeah, I know I need to allow for some time with this, but not that big of a deal. I know I need to provide better clarity and things of that nature, but come on, what's the big deal? We all do this. Yeah, I know I need to give some ear. I need to stop ignoring and denying and all that stuff, but come on. Who doesn't do stuff like that? And even today, wow, practical advice. I know, you know, sometimes I can be disrespectful with mind reading and all this other stuff and the tone of voice and body language, but come on, what's the big deal? Oh, you're fine now, but you keep that up. Your marriage will come crumbling down. Don't do that. Pastor Billy, there were so many techniques, man. I don't know how I can memorize them all. Well, just remember one. Do unto others as you'd have him do unto you. How do you like to be communicated to? Then do it to your spouse and vice versa. And if you could do that, then guess what? Your life doesn't have to be filled with silent pain and personal suffering. God never said it'd be easy. He just said it takes some time, takes some work. But if you can get back to giving each other some time, some clarity, some ear, and some respect, then you're well on your way to having a marriage built to last. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our study today, and not only today, but the last couple of weeks on communication. And God, if we need to make adjustments, all of us, myself included, may be so. You tell us that if we do what you say to do, we'll be blessed in all we do. And so help us not to minimize or negate or procrastinate or take for granted these nuances. Help us to get it right. And again, not just for us, God, that it would protect our marriages, that we would be able to work through our problems as you designed them for us to be able to do through your teachings in your word. But also, God, that we could learn how to be effective communicators so that even that would be witness to the lost around us. Marriages, homes, everything's all messed up today. And something as simple as being a godly Christian with a godly marriage, with godly communication, could be the very thing that could lead other people to you, Jesus, because they want, how do you guys do that? You go through troubles just like we do, but how do you guys make it through? And we could lead them to you. And as always, God, if there's anybody here today that's not truly born again, please save them before it's too late. You've communicated to us through your word that you are holy, that we are not. The wages of our sin is death. We deserve to die and go to hell, myself included. But through your son, Jesus Christ, he gave us the way out, the only way out. It's through his death on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place. And that if we would believe on that and his work, his death on the cross, you will forgive us completely of anything and everything we've ever done, past, present, future. You tell us if we confess you, Jesus, as Lord, believe in our heart that you, God, raised him from the grave, we will be saved. If anybody needs to do that today, may today be the day before it's too late. But thank you for our study. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever?
I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.